Well, good morning to each one. It's a blessing to be here with y'all. And I was just thinking about it this morning, how important it is to have this rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For the message this morning, the message title is, Who is My Neighbor? And I want each one of us to know who our neighbor is, so that way we can fulfill the command to love them as we are commanded to. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. But before we get into that, I thought it would be important for each one of us to know who we ourselves are. Ask yourself the question, who am I? You know, I think we need to figure out who we are ourselves before we figure out who our neighbor really is. Who are you? Who do you identify as? I believe we're supposed to identify as a child of God. We're supposed to, and what are we supposed to be? We should be God's servants. I think that's first and utmost important that we get that straight. Figure out who we are before we figure out who our neighbor is. But who is my neighbor? The text verse is out of Luke chapter 10. As you're turning there, just going to read a little bit of something that I came across. I thought it was very interesting. This little boy and his grandpa were once taking a walk. And the little boy asked, Grandpa, what is evil afraid of? The grandpa smiled. That's a great question. Evil is afraid of the truth because the truth takes away its power. It's afraid of love because love is a shield it can't break through. And it's afraid of hope because hope helps people stand up again even after they fall hard. But do you know what scares it the most? The boy shook his head. Unity, Grandpa continued. Evil feeds on division. It loves when people fight, judge, and turn against each other. But when people stand together and look out for one another, evil has no place to go. The boy thought for a moment, so if people stick together and help each other, evil disappears? Is it really that simple? Grandpa nodded gently. Yes, he said. Simple and somehow the hardest thing for people to remember. We need to have love and unity, and we can go strongly against what the devil has in mind. All right, turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. We're going to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? Thinking of who my neighbor is. I'm going to read Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, says, And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And he willingly willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, and which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou, who was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So, who is my neighbor? I was just asking that question over and over again in my mind. You know, we feel, sometimes we might see our neighbor as the next door person, or just the people like just around us. You know, the ones that live just right close by. But Jesus didn't make it stop there. Here we see the parable of the Good Samaritan here. Jesus wants everyone to be our neighbor. Everyone we meet, we need to show them love, show respect. Jesus don't want it just to be a few people. He wants everyone to be our neighbor. So we're going to look into a few more things as far as how Jesus commanded us. He told us to love our neighbor as ourself. How do we go about loving our neighbor as ourself? The Bible teaches that loving your neighbor as yourself is a core commandment, second only to loving God, emphasizing kindness, truth, justice, and serving those in need, often expanding the definition of neighbor beyond immediate community to include anyone who needs help, as shown in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Key principles include not harming, coveting, gossiping, or bearing grudges, but instead showing mercy, sharing, and speaking truth. And we're going to be talking about love and kindness here this morning. And it might feel like I'm repeating myself some, but I believe it's an important thing that we get. Loving your neighbor as yourself is found in a few verses in Leviticus as well. Leviticus 19, I'm just going to quick turn to a few verses here. 19 verse 17 and 18. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And it's also repeated by Jesus in Matthew 22. This is the fundamental principle summarizing much of the law. Fulfilling the law in Romans 13:10 states that loving your neighbor prevents doing wrong and fulfills the law. I'm going to go ahead and turn to Romans Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, I was thinking about it, how harming it is, the key principles, as far as a few things there that I had just mentioned, and gossiping was one of them. How much do we accept gossip? It seems gossip is one of them things that so many of us accept. And it's a sin just as much as any other sin. We talk about each other behind each other's back, here and there. And we might say bad things about this person because he kind of ticked me off, you know, and he, you know, you name it. But gossip is not love. You know, I think gossip is one of those things we shove under the rug way too much and accept instead of keeping each other accountable with it. I know I struggle with it myself some. And since I've been looking into some of this stuff, I've been trying to watch myself, and it is so easy to do, to just gossip about people, talk bad about this person. So easy to do. It's something we need to keep on our mind. It is not love. We're just holding ourselves a little higher than the other person. It's like a short-term pleasure. Just like pornography, adultery, masturbation, and so other sins. They're sins of the flesh. Just a short-term pleasure, and so is gossip. But we see in James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's something we need to watch ourselves with. Jesus expanded the definition of a neighbor through this parable in Luke, showing that a neighbor is anyone in need, even an enemy, who shows mercy. We need to show kindness and love. Even to our enemy. Love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Neighborliness becomes about being compassionate and actively helping those who cross your path, regardless of who they are. The Bible calls for a proactive, compassionate love that extends to everyone, requiring believers to actively care for others as they would themselves, fulfilling God's law through practical acts of mercy and justice. And Jesus concluded there with, go and do thou likewise. The Bible teaches that love, and particularly agape love, is patient, kind, selfless, and sacrificial, defining it as God's essence and the greatest commandment, loving God and neighbor. It's a commitment. Active choice demonstrated through actions like patience, forgiveness, and putting others first, exemplified by Jesus' sacrifice in John 3:16, and commanded as a way of life for believers. You know, I had to think of the song, the children's song, J-O-Y, putting Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. That's how we're to live. Love God. I'm going to look at a verse in Matthew 22. Matthew 22:39. Matthew 22, I'm going to start in verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, this is the second greatest commandment. The first one is to love God, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love in action. I'd like to just talk about love in action a little bit. I think one is sacrifice. Laying down your life for friends. Another one is new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. That's in John 13. So you must love one another. God's love is unconditional. Showing by giving his son for humanity. You know, we don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve it at all. And yet God created us. He loves us so much. You know, if you would make something, the things that you make, you care about, you put time into it, you invested into it. So God, it's like God invested so much time into us. He created us. He cares about each one. And he loves each one. And yet sometimes we just act like we don't care. We don't care about the next person sometimes. We need to show love. Another thing in love in action, we can show it in our families, in marriages, and communities, in demonstrating grace, patience, and forgiveness. Biblical love is more than fleeting feelings, like falling in love. It's a steadfast commitment, a covenant, a choice to act in other best interests, even when it's hard. We have all these acts of love and kindness that we're commanded to do, but what are some ways that we can do today in practical sense? What are some things that we can do? I'd like to turn to Matthew 7, the golden rule. And why do we call it the golden rule? I had to think, you know, the Bible, I don't see anywhere where the Bible calls it the golden rule, but yet it's just something that we call it the golden rule, but why? And I think the reason why is when Jesus was on this earth, if there would have been one thing that he really wanted us to get, one gold nugget, the golden rule, the gold nugget that he wanted us to have, to leave with us, was this right here, was the golden rule. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you know what the silver rule is? The silver rule is like the negative. Do not do to others what you would not want them to do to you. So in other words, if I don't want you to burn down my house, then I just won't burn yours down. If I don't want you to hurt me, then I just won't hurt you. But Jesus calls us to love. He calls us to do to others the things that we want done to us. So if we want a kind word spoken to us, we need to speak a kind word to the other person. If we want love, someone to love us, we need to love them. And so on. Do to others what you want them to do to you. That was Jesus' words. Applying the golden rule means considering how you would wish to be treated in situations like holding doors for others in public or practicing honesty at work. It also involves avoiding actions like interrupting conversations or reacting to conflict in ways you would find upsetting. And the list could go on. Verse in Matthew, another way we can show love. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. This is a pivotal Bible verse where Jesus states that acts of kindness, mercy, and service to the least of these my brethren and sisters are done directly to him, emphasizing that helping the poor, hungry, sick, or imprisoned is serving Christ himself. So that's one way we can love or serve God, is by serving others. Those around us, those in need. The list is here. The poor, hungry, sick, imprisoned. Inclusion of Christ in the needy. Jesus identifies himself with the vulnerable people. Showing love and mercy to them is a direct act of love and service to him. In a broader context, these acts of compassion, like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick or imprisoned, distinguish the righteous sheep from the wicked goats. At times it seems God puts people before us and expects us to help them. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is there waiting to be loved in that individual. That's why Jesus said, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you do it for me. Jesus is waiting for you to serve him through that other person. The Bible teaches kindness is a core Christian virtue, a command to be compassionate, forgiving, and helpful even to enemies, reflecting God's own love and mercy, and it's a fruit of the Spirit leading to blessings, not weakness, with verses urging believers to clothe themselves in kindness, patience, and love, exemplified by Jesus and the Good Samaritan. A divine command. Kindness isn't optional. It's a command. Like God's own nature, as seen in Colossians 3:12 and Ephesians 4:32, urging believers to clothe yourself with compassion. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and loving our enemies. A few things that reflects God's nature is God shows kindness to the ungrateful and evil. Believers are to do the same. Show kindness to the ungrateful and evil. How hard is it sometimes for us to show kindness to those that, you know, we might have just done, helped someone out, and then they just backfire on us. And you're like, man, I don't want to do that again. But Jesus called us to do it. Even the hard things. And the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Kindness is listed alongside of love, joy, and peace as evident of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. And kindness leads to blessings. Proverbs 11:17 states, "A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself, and kindness brings life and honor." Kindness involves active compassion, like the Good Samaritan who helped a stranger in need. You know, Jesus' life was not boring. And I don't think ours has to be either. Jesus called us to so many action words. Some action words I was just looking at that we are to do is to love, bless, pray, serve, heal, preach, teach, seek, give, forgive, do, come, make disciples, cleanse, raise, cast out, feed, serve, follow, go. And the list goes on. Them are just a few. Jesus' life was not boring. He had his work cut out, and so do we. First Corinthians 13 talks about love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be kind and compassionate to one another. That's in Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving, be ye kind one to another. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. A few commands. Do not harm. Don't take revenge. Bear grudges, slander, or plan evil against your neighbor. Be truthful. Speak truth and render just judgments. And we are called to serve and to share. Share with those in need and show hospitality. And I feel like Dad has brought us up in doing that a lot. We've had quite a few people live with us already, where he's just welcomed them in and said, hey, you know, you can come stay the night or whoever. And it was all kinds of random people we'd have around some. And, you know, it was good. It was good for me. It lived this out. Something that I want to pass on to my children as well. A few verses in Deuteronomy I want to read. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6 starting in verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I see here at how serious God is, at how serious he wants us to be about this. He wants us to teach these things, teach this diligently to our children. Talk of them when we sit down in your house, when you walk around by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And to bind them about bind them around them for a sign upon thine hand, and when they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. In other words, he wants us to just have it on our minds all the time to live this out. Just a small quote says, never let the opportunity to say a kind word pass. Never let the opportunity to say a kind word pass. Kindness always comes back. And one thing, you know, at the end of the year, we often like to do like a New Year's resolution, which it's already into the new year, I know, I understand. But a daily commitment outweighs a New Year's resolution. A daily commitment. Let's remember to love God with our whole heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's kneel for prayer.